Subscribe to the Tim and Sid podcast with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Today on Tim and Sid, for the first time ever, the Leafs are accused of being too defensive, but clinch a point in L.A.
Well played, McAuliffe.
Mm-hmm.
The Raptors clinched the earliest playoff spot in franchise history.
And we clinched getting the soon-to-be Hart Trophy clinching. Leon Draisaitl, who will join us on this very show.
Tim and Sid, it's all about Hart.
I thought you were going to go clench your teeth and bear it, but whatever. Same thing.
I like that one better.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
It is Friday, March the 6th. I am Sid Sixero. He is Tim McAuliffe. What's going on, everybody? This is Tim and Sid. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. No show in the country. Kill the music for a second. I want to make this very clear. Thank you. No show in the country interacts with you on Twitter the way we do. Music up, please. At Tim and Sid is how you can do that. Dramatic.
You keep doing this music thing, and I don't think you need to.
I think it adds to the drama of whatever we're talking about.
I think you're disrespecting Famous and the beat that he laid down for us by stopping it.
Let me tell you something. Kill the music. See? You didn't know what I was going to say.
I know.
Adds to the drama.
I know, but you didn't stop the music to say something important.
You didn't know that.
You stopped the music to say interact with people on Twitter.
Music up, please.
The hell does that mean?
Thank you.
If you stop the music, you better say something important.
Point taken. Our Instagram and Facebook accounts are also operational.
I'm just waiting for you to stop the music something ridiculous.
Go ahead.
I have breaking news.
Urgent and late breaking news.
Tim and Sid podcasts are available 24/7. You can also stream the show while on the go, courtesy of Sportsnet Now. Hey, coming up over the next 2 hours of TV and radio, although the last half hour is just radio, and that's when we have the most fun.
I was trying to find a fun story to stop the music with. There's nothing like that in my timeline right now.
No, it's all coronavirus and things.
Zero.
Coming up over the next 2 hours, we will discuss the Leafs.
Offense dried up.
Raptors in Bay Area.
Still going strong.
Tiger Woods.
Back to square one.
Mika Zibanejad.
The Bundy 5.
And Leon Draisaitl.
On today's show.
He only had the Bundy 4, Leon Draisaitl.
Is the Bundy 5 a reference I need to stop making because only people of our vintage would know what the Bundy 5 is?
Put it on the poll. Do you, in fact, get the Bundy 5 reference? I'm going to say to you right now that 24% of people currently watching and or listening would know what the Bundy 5 is.
50%?
24% is what I said. I love how you listen to me all the time.
Why 24?
Close.
Why 24%?
It was a guesstimate.
Such a random number. 24%?
I was going to go higher, and then I thought it's probably way lower.
You couldn't have just said 25%. It couldn't have been 25. You had to go 24.
You and me both know, Sixero, that when I put my mind to something, I try and come up with exact numbers, all right?
This
I don't mess around.
No, this is
when
true.
It comes to numbers, I do not mess around. It's probably going to be lower. If I set it at 24%, would you take the over or the under?
I think it's the under. I think the Bundy 5 is something I need to stop saying because most people don't realize it's one of the great wrestling references of all time.
It's also 35 years old.
Might be more than that, no?
I'm 44. I was 9 when the Bundy 5 was out.
How many years ago was 1985? Because you showed me that tweet about Bloomberg, and I screwed that up. I'm not doing math anymore with McAuliffe. It's like a trick. You're going to trick me with your math. I'm like Brooksy.
It was...
1985 is how many years ago, honestly?
34.
35?
Yeah.
Thanks. Joe, our cameraman literally put up a 3 and a 5 and then a thumbs up.
Right.
That's how I do math in the studio.
It was actually pretty easy math when you think about it.
I think it was tough.
1985, 2020.
Much like the Bloomberg tweet you showed me yesterday.
I was thinking about my 44 and trying to work from there, but might as well go the other way with it.
Coming up, hockey's current points leader will join us next hour, and this is by far the longest music bet I've ever heard in my life. Leon Draisaitl will join us here on Tim and Sid. We'll go over a very interesting night in the NHL. But, best of the week also on deck. But we begin with a playoff-bound Raptors team, Timmy.
Yes, sir.
Are they asking for me to cut the music? Is that what's going on right now? Is there a bit going on and I'm not privy to it?
I don't know.
Is there a better show happening in Master Control?
We just lost the poll on TV. It looks like you're getting more support for your Bundy 5.
Please cut the music.
And this isn't the Al Bundy 5.
Thank you.
And they were doing that on purpose.
They were, it took me three minutes.
Oh, my God. Wait, what's going on with this music? It's the longest music band I've ever heard.
I don't know. What's happening with this? I don't get that Bloomberg math.
Do you get the Bundy 5 reference right now? 32% of folks say they get the Bundy 5. It was that he was so I shouldn't say this. Should I say it? Should I explain it?
Of course you should. Yes, definitely. Right.
He was so confident in his pinfall.
King Kong Bundy. The late King Kong Bundy.
The biggest. It looks like a giant Tim McAuliffe. And I'm pretty big.
If Tim McAuliffe really let himself go, it's King Kong Bundy.
It's King Kong Bundy.
Yes.
If he was so confident in his pinfall that he would not ask for three, he would encourage the referee to get to five.
Five.
One. Two. Three.
And then...
No. He would say, and throw up the five.
Five.
Give me, and then the referee would oblige.
Yep.
Four.
And Jimmy Corderas gives him the five.
Five.
Jimmy Corderas, he doesn't go to four, but the Bundy five was like, no. I know it's a three count. That's regulation here. I want extra counts on the pin because I am huge. I am a fat Tim McAuliffe. I am winning this match.
Right. And that's saying something because I'm getting fat.
There's nothing Barry Horowitz can do to stop it.
Maybe getting is the wrong word. Maybe I am fat.
It is like if you put glasses on King Kong Bundy and a nice jacket and an earpiece.
Hold on.
He is a fat you.
Hold on.
He is a fat you. I'm telling you.
He was a fat me. No, I'm okay with it. He's a fat me. You're going to say he looks the same.
No,
he was like 400 plus pounds.
I mean, they said
he was 500, but he wasn't.
No, he looked a solid 500.
All right.
He looked, when he tried to climb the cage at WrestleMania 2, he certainly looked like an extra.
We should bring back the Bundy 5. Like when I absolutely destroy you.
No, but that's a subjective destroy.
The Bundy 5 was an exact count. We can put it on the poll. When someone gets destroyed on this show, they get the Bundy 5.
In wrestling back in the day, Iron Mike Sharp wasn't getting up. So you get down and you ask for the five. That is a scientific fact that took place. A Bundy five is about science. If we have a debate and you think you destroy me,
I got one.
You can't call for a Bundy five.
I got one.
It's ridiculous.
Last year, you were asking for more from Leon Draisaitl. And I was suggesting to you that Leon Draisaitl was really good. Is that the Bundy five?
No, I never said he wasn't really good. I'm saying he needs to drive a line. He needs to do that on his own. Like, it's nice to play with Connor McDavid. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
However, you need more.
Okay, but now he's done the more.
Yeah. So I can maybe give myself a Bundy 4.
That's not a Bundy 5?
Which I've done that before.
All right.
You will not give me the Bundy 5.
I guess we could give it to Donovan Bennett, who came on here and said he's not a top 10 player in the NHL.
Oh, my God.
He would have got the Bundy 5.
South by Southwest just got the Bundy 5. Canceled.
South by Southwest
just got canceled.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
And I want you to be honest on this. And I know it's a big event. Did you know what South by Southwest was before the coronavirus started getting linked to South by Southwest? Be honest with me.
I heard it's a really good barbecue festival.
Honestly.
Is it strictly music?
You didn't know about it, did you?
No, I knew about it. I didn't know the specifics of South by Southwest.
You asked me yesterday.
It started as a music festival and turned into a...
How big the South by Southwest festival was.
Yeah.
But you knew what it was.
I knew music was involved. I didn't know what it turned into.
You sound like you're
I'm giving you the Bundy 5 on the South by Southwest story.
You knew it?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I love how this coronavirus is bringing this out in all of us. And I'm just reading.
I am not acting
like I am not paranoid about anything.
Like
I am that person.
Legit scolded me before we came on saying you can't keep just shouting out coronavirus stories because A, you don't know what's true and what isn't nowadays. And B, it's consuming my every thought.
I didn't say that.
I'm giving you the Bundy 5 on that.
you said that. I said that you got to stop doing it because you're driving yourself crazy.
No, I'm fine with fear and pestilence and the end of days. it's going to happen at some point. Whether we're here or not, it's going to hit somebody square in the face. Right. They're going to get the Bundy 5 on that day. Let me tell you. I'm just trying to keep up with what actual medical people are saying. And am I a little wrapped up in this?
Yes, because you know me. Some news stories I get a little amped about.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's a storm rolling in, I'm like, yes, hey, McAuliffe, make sure your shingles get fixed another day. There's a storm coming in.
As a guy with kids, I don't need to hear all this stuff. Do you understand that?
Okay, so like, you don't want me to shout it out to you.
No.
Okay.
No, I know what's going on.
Can I whisper it to Joe?
When I want to know what's going on, I'll read about it. Until then, I don't want to hear about it constantly.
That's the problem.
It causes anxiety.
South by Southwest got canceled. Joe, it's a festival of barbecue.
We do a sports show. And by the way, there's going to be a bunch of sports things that are either canceled or put behind closed doors.
It's coming.
All that stuff is coming. I just don't need you yapping in my ear all the time, adding to my already anxiety-ridden life because I have children.
I'll pass notes to the guys.
I bet you if you had children, you would think about this way differently.
I have a cat, okay?
Same thing.
And I care about her deeply until she bites me.
Same thing.
And I just want her protected. To the Raptors. Last night, speaking of bite, the Raptors were back in the Bay for the first time since winning that whole NBA title thing a year ago. And not only did they win last night in Steph Curry's return, mm-hmm. he had 23 in 28 minutes, by the way, they also clinched, the Raptors did, a playoff spot. Their earliest clinching in franchise history.
Careful.
It's now 7 straight years where the Raptors have made a clinching. Considering all the ups and downs this team has gone through, Tim, and years they've been relaxed and others they've clinched, do you ever think it would end up here? Perennial playoff contenders, year in, year out, the Toronto Raptors.
So I pitched to Sixero and the entire crew that I wanted to go on this rant and stop everybody and make them really contemplate on where this franchise has been. And basically, in the question, you went through everything that I was going to do with the stop.
I wasn't
aware
of that.
The perennial up and down.
I wasn't aware of that.
What are you talking about? I sent an email earlier today that said, I'll read my email.
I wasn't there.
I got it here. Raptors clinched their 7th straight playoff berth, earliest they've clinched in franchise history. 7th straight playoff appearance. Stop and think about that for a second. In the midst of first round exits, did you ever think they would end up here? In the midst of the Bargnani area, do you think they'd ever end up here in Raptors?
I didn't mention Bargnani.
Basically everything else you mentioned in the question.
Tim, what you just read, awesome. What a point. What a point from Tim McKenna. Bundy 6. That's what you just gave.
You just stole
point.
My thunder.
The Bundy 6.
I will ask this.
Go on.
Who deserves the credit for that? Like, full stop, we understand that when this franchise was born, it was nowhere near a model franchise. I don't care what name you want to bring up from the past. Each one of them, whether it's Vincenzo Esposito, whether it's Carlos Rogers, whether it is, you name the guy, Sixero, Tony Massenberg,
Eric Montross.
Eric Montross, all of them are Roko Ukic. They get a little chuckle out of people because the team was so bad for so long, save for a little time with Chris Bosh, save for a little time with Vince Carter, and the franchise's marquee won one series in his career. Vince Carter is the beacon of hope for Raptor fans because of what he represented. He won one series in his history in Toronto. And now, this is the model franchise. If you even take it a step further, the 7 straight playoff appearances could have gone a completely different way as well.
In what way?
Well, if there's no deal for Kawhi Leonard,
right?
What happens with this franchise? What's the conversation around this franchise?
You know what? You don't hear the question enough. What if DeMar stayed last year? Right? Like you don't hear that side of that discussion enough in terms of what the future would have been for the franchise.
Because I wanted to say who deserves this the most. In my head, I thought, well, Kyle Lowry deserves a ton of credit for what has gone on over the last 7 years because he's been here, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he has been the rock. But if there's no trade for Kawhi Leonard, if they bow out in the second round again last year with DeMar DeRozan on the team.
And if the shot doesn't fall against Philadelphia?
If the shot doesn't fall against Philadelphia. Well, I mean, they go to overtime, but that's a different story altogether. I think all of this is looked at differently, right?
Absolutely.
Completely. Absolutely. So is it Kawhi? Who deserves the most credit for this change in the way the Raptors' narrative is run? And where it's run right now is you can go win games without guys in Golden State and in Phoenix and in everywhere else because you're second in the East.
It's the guy who made the hardest decisions possible. It's an easy answer, and you might not like it. It's all on Masai.
But Masai was going to trade Kyle Lowry to the Knicks until James Dolan said, oh, boy, this guy's fleeced us already twice. We can't do it again.
I will give him credit for the Knicks' stupidity. See, I don't know if you're going to give him points for that. I will give him points. But look, did he want to fire Dwayne Casey? Didn't happen right away, right? Let's remember how that played out. Dwayne Casey was not fired right after that series with the Cavs was over. There was agonizing deliberation over that from a man who knows how good of a human being Dwayne Casey was and what he meant to the franchise. Dwayne Casey helped usher in winning in a certain way. Makes the move. DeMar DeRozan is one of the few Raptors I've ever seen in my life that really loved being a Raptor. A guy who re-signed. A guy who quote-unquote, repped for the city. For an organization who'd seen star after star leave, the decision to trade him on a guy on a one-year deal, the ultimate risk.
Mm-hmm.
This is all Masai. I don't think it's a debate. I think it's a good conversation, but I don't think it's a debate in terms of who the guy is. Who's second and third on that podium would be an interesting discussion as well. But to me, it's Masai Ujiri for making those tough decisions with guys he genuinely had relationships with. That's the guy who deserves it.
It's funny because to me, the franchise was on the verge of being a laughing stock again. And now we can sit here and say seven straight trips to the postseason after going through what many a Raptor fans of a certain vintage went through. The ones that have been there from the start, they have gone through a lot.
Correct.
And it would have been really interesting to see how it went. But instead, Kawhi, championship, now model franchise, Masai King, right?
Absolutely.
Like, that's where you're at right now, and it's amazing to see.
The Kyle Lowry line last night.
Oh, creepy.
So June 13th, 2019, Raptors go into Oracle. Kyle Lowry has 26 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. They win the title. Last night, his line, the exact, oh, my God, same amount of threes as well. I didn't realize that. Same line for Lowry last night going into Chase Center. Exact same. Super stat. Or really super stat?
It's a meaningless number, but it's kind of cool and creepy. Yeah, no, it's meaningless.
No.
You think he knew?
I think he's a witch.
Can I say that the Game 6 performance of Kyle Lowry coming out the gate and doing what he did to the Warriors is the least talked about and most important part of the Toronto Raptors' run last year?
While getting pushed by minor ownership of the franchise.
Right.
He was instigated early in that
almost
series.
Almost forgot about that.
Yes.
It was a 5-for-5 start, I believe, 11 points, Kyle Lowry, in Game 6 of the NBA Finals last year. I get it. It's creepy. The numbers are kind of cool to see that they're the same. But to go back to that start last year and what he did, I feel like it's been underrated completely.
Yeah, you also Fred VanVleet's fourth quarter. Like, there are specific moments and numbers from that game where you're like, wow. But you're right. Kyle is underrated. Tim, how many people didn't have the Raptors in the playoffs this year? That was kind of a thing prior to the season, was it not?
You wanna do this?
Listen, man, I say a lot of things on this show. You sit here for 2 hours on national television in drive time, you're gonna be right, you're gonna be wrong.
Why does it have to be drive time?
I'm just saying. We're on drive time radio, are we not?
Yeah, no, I understand. But you sit here for 2 hours on radio, drive time.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's the amount of work I do. I just want to throw it out there.
Puffing out your chest in the drive time thing.
It's just a fact. Yeah, it's like the Bundy Five. It's like the Bundy Five.
Understand.
There were a lot of people before the year. You and I know.
Look at me. I'm on drive time.
Hey, it's not what big deal. It's how I live, man. Whatever. And podcast. Download the podcast with Tim and I. There were some people who didn't
distract
think
you from your
thought. No, nothing distracts me on this show except for Dagan's side business. My point, he does floral arrangements. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, what are you guys thinking? What are you thinking?
Are you kidding? You need a centerpiece for a wedding? You talk to Dagan.
Right.
Some people in the basketball world.
Baby's breath.
Baby.
Don't know.
I know what that is.
I think that's what it is.
I know what that is. Some people didn't have the Raptors in the playoffs this year. Do you remember that? Some people didn't.
Oh, the tweet went around last night.
Oh, yeah. There was a pick specifically, and I love me some Sam. Don't get me wrong, right? Now, Sam had him in the postseason to start the year, but had him eighth. Dennis Scott did not have the Raptors. Dennis Scott, NBA TV vet, D3, and he can shoot a three. Did not have the Raptors in the postseason. Do we let it go, or do we bring it up further?
No, I think this is... I think Raptor fans are allowed to take the lap that they're taking right now on this team, given where most people had them. And we thought we were on, like, both you and I had them around 4 or 5.
About that, yeah.
Right? Like, going into the season, we had them around 4 or 5. Now, we didn't know Philadelphia would turn out the way Philadelphia turned out.
You and I don't agree on much, but we had them. It was 4 or 5. It was odd how on the same page we were on that. Yeah.
4 or 5, and if it went well, maybe a 3 or something along those lines. And we'll admit to it, but south of the border, no one had them anywhere near this. And Nick Nurse, and Masai Ujiri, and any of the players, and any of the fans who want to take a lap on this are allowed to walk around and float everything. And Sam doesn't get a pass. Sam had him 8. Covers the team.
I do love Sam, though.
You and I both love Sam, and we have a long history with Sam, and had him on the show when we were first on radio all the time, and he helped make us.
You thought Mark Spears took me down last week. Sam had some epics.
Used to take you down all the time. So you're allowed to turn back and say, hey, Sam, having them at 8th does not make you get away scot-free on this, right?
That's fair. That's fair. Absolutely. But
so the pitcher making the rounds right now is one of NBA TV's Eastern Conference preview. Dennis Scott standing beside Sam Mitchell. Dennis Scott having them not in his top 8, not making the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Wild.
And Sam has them 8th.
Shocking visual, considering they have clinched at the earliest point in their franchise's history. It is just a shocking visual. But again, I think teams get motivated by stuff like that. I think they read more than they let on. And again, congratulations to Coach Nurse and everyone.
Take your lap, yeah.
Take your lap. They dug in. Wasn't perfect, but a good performance last night. And we'll see what the rest of the season has in store.
Before we go to break, we want to acknowledge one of the greatest careers by any athlete in all of professional sports. Henri Richard, one of the greatest players in Montreal Canadiens history, passed away this morning after a long battle with Alzheimer's at the age of 84. When it came to winning and being a great Hab, Richard was both.
Yeah, here. He lifted the Stanley Cup 11 times as a player.
11.
11. No player in NHL history has done that.
No.
Third on the Habs' all-time scoring list behind Guy Lafleur and Jean Beliveau. No one played more regular season games in a Canadiens jersey.
Just 20 seasons.
The brother of Rocket Richard paved his own way, was his own man, had his own career. You talk about a shadow looming over you. The Rocket Richard, culturally, what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
Henri Richard did his own thing and will forever go down as one of the greatest Habs ever. He is survived by his wife of 50 years, Lise, his 5 children and 10 grandchildren. We send our condolences to all of them. More Tim and Sid after this.
This is Tim and Sid, coast to coast to coast on Sportsnet Radio and TV. In the opening segment, we were talking about the Bundy Five, and it captured the imagination of many in and around Canada and beyond, Sid. So much so that a quote from you ended up on the Tim and Sid Twitter account.
Do tell.
Saying, and I quote, "If Tim McAuliffe really let himself go, it's King Kong Bundy." And they added a picture of my head on King Kong Bundy's body. But what strikes me the most is that the chins match.
It's like
in the picture.
Tim, it's like Bam Bam Bigelow in that picture looked at you and said, yeah, that's McAuliffe.
Yep.
Like Bigelow is just,
Glasses off and we're good.
Oh, my God. Those listening on pod or radio, at Tim and Sid this. Tim McAuliffe is shockingly similar to King Kong Bundy.
This is
shocking.
This could be a low moment in my career.
Or you start your professional wrestling career. It's one of the
one
two.
One of the two?
Your chin. No, it was. They doctored the chins. Your chins are not like that. Stop it.
Oh, my goodness.
Matt Morgan is not to be trusted at Sportsnet. He doctored it.
No, look.
No, that's not. That's not accurate, Tim. Stop it. You don't have that. You don't have chins like that, okay? I had them recently. I've lost a little bit of weight, whatever. I don't need to talk about it. The point is.
Is that why you've been saying about the weigh-in lately?
No, let's talk to Perk. I don't want to make it about my weight loss. Let's talk to Perk. I don't want to. Let's not make this about me.
Kendrick Perkins waiting patiently throughout all this. Perk, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, look, I actually like it. Hey, Tim and Sid, listen.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you got to do, right? Until you lose your weight and get your weight down like me, you just got to grow your beard out to hide the extra skin.
That's the
move. You know what I'm saying? That's what I did. That's I grew the beard out. And they're like, Perk, I didn't know you could. Yeah, I had to. You know, I thought it was time. I'm a dad. That's what was my excuse. But in all honesty, I'm hiding the fat.
God's honest, right now, I got a little bit of growth right now. No, more than I normally have. Yeah. I might start growing that thing out. I haven't had a good pass with facial hair. Something about a soul patch back in the day, but whatever.
Yeah, that maybe wasn't a good memory.
No, not at all.
So, Perk, if the three of us for a month try and lose weight, like who loses the most weight?
Well, see, it's unfair because I'm the heaviest, right? And I probably would lose the most weight because you guys probably don't have that much to lose. Like, right now, I'm probably like 100 pounds overweight. So, like, if we was to go on a challenge, start Monday, a 90-day challenge, right, who lose the most weight, I probably would beat y'all, just not because I would outwork y'all or I would, you know, my discipline would be better than you guys. It's because I have the most weight to lose. That's usually how it works. It's strange, but that's how it is. Like, I probably would lose like 12 pounds in 1 week.
But for those who don't know, you're 6'10", right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm 6'10".
Yeah, so there's a reason why you're packing on more weight is because you're also 6'10". We might have to do a percentage.
Nah, Tim, listen. I am fat. I've come to the conclusion it's time for a change.
All right.
I'm not even waiting on Monday. Matter of fact, I just got off the elliptical like 30 minutes ago. I'm not playing no games. Like, it's time for a change.
Right.
Okay.
If we can help inspire this, we are in.
Let's do it. And your playing weight was what, Perk? What were you playing at?
275. You know how much I weigh right now?
I'm guessing
375.
Oh, wow. Right. That's 200 extra pounds.
Sixero's math a
little
off.
My math is terrible, Perk. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's hard.
That's terrible math. I'm sorry.
I still want my wife to be with me.
All right, speaking of carrying the weight of expectations, the Raptors prior to this year, look, I mean, we ran some of the predictions. People did not expect, some people we respect in this industry, did not expect the Raptors to come close to making a play. I shouldn't say come close, but to making a playoff spot. I know you've been on the Raptors bandwagon for a long time. How much motivation do you think, Perk, a team takes in this day and age from hearing that type of talk, considering you just got fitted for a ring?
Oh, it's the ultimate disrespect. And you know the thing I love about the Raptors is that they don't come out and lash out at the media and say, you know, oh, okay, I feel disrespected. No, they let their play do the talking. And one thing about it, I want y'all to know this. I want y'all to understand this, okay? I haven't been tweeting about my Toronto Raptors because I'm just staying quiet. I'm just staying quiet, letting people think, oh, Perk done left the Raptors alone. No, I'm watching everything the Raptors do right now. I know Norman Powell went off last night, 37 points, big buckets. I know this. So at the end of the day, I want people to think, oh, Big Perk not rolling with the Raptors. Yeah, I am. Because once they get to that playoff level and they get to battling and get to upsetting people, guess what? I'm just come straight out the woodwork again. Bam! Y'all remember this tweet? Y'all remember this here? I'm setting it up. I already see it coming.
So if we're in Jurassic Park again during a playoff stretch here, and Perk, if you're in town, if the Raptors are going deep and you're in town, you're going to come by the desk and you're going to let loose. That's what you're telling us.
Listen, it's two things on my bucket list that I have to do if the Raptors are going, if the Raptors are making noise in the playoffs and I'm in town. That's to come on the Tim and Sid show, and also I'm going crowd surfing. Big Perk going crowd surfing.
You're going on? Well, wow. Maybe you're going to need to lose a few of those 375s if you can go crowd surfing.
Yeah, I'll be ashamed by
it. We have crowd surfing laws in Toronto about this. Yeah. It would be a dangerous thing.
Hey, listen, we know you're suited and booted for the Celtics-Jazz game today, which you can see, Perk, help call tonight. Sportsnet 1 starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. I was saying that for those – listen – I understand that a lot south of the border have slept on the Toronto Raptors, but I feel like not enough people are paying attention to the way that Boston has started to play, given Jason Tatum's kind of ride. Are we starting to see the Celtics that we thought we might have got last year with Kyrie Irving?
Can we please not mention this dude's name? I mean, seriously, let's not mention Kyrie Irving. Right now, I'm just messing with you, Tim. But at the end of the day, yes, this is the Boston Celtics team. This is the Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that we've been waiting on. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are playing phenomenal basketball. It hurts that the only thing about the Celtics and the Raptors have two things in common right now. They can't stay healthy. Just think about it. If they were healthy, both teams, they probably would be 5 games better in the win column. Like, but they're not healthy. And that's why you got to give a lot of credit to the Celtics and the Raptors, because they've been healthy. But I tell you this, we are watching a star in the making. Jason Tatum has elevated his game to another level, and it's not fool's gold. This guy is capable of giving at the least 30 points a night. The least. I watched him up close and personal against the Rockets, and he has the total package offensively. He is a walking bucket, and this guy is a superstar. And like I said before, I know Danny Ainge have made some crazy moves. One was trading yours truly right here to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I don't never see him getting rid of Jason Tatum ever in life.
Tatum is legit. Tatum is absolutely legit. And he's getting better. He's getting better. Kendrick Perkins joining us here. Kip, Perk, quickly, let me write this down before I ask you the next question. Don't bring up Kyrie Irving to Perk any more. Right. He doesn't.
Might be hard next year,
like,
but whatever. Okay.
It. Okay. I got that note there, Perk. We got about 60 seconds. Sportsnet 1 here in Canada. We got the Bucks. We got the Lakers tonight. Perk, best of 7 series. Bucks have home court. Who wins the series? Lakers, Bucks. Who do you got?
You know what? I gotta go with the Lakers. Let me tell you why. I will never, ever, ever, ever bet my money against LeBron James and against LeBron James going against a new team first time in the promised land. Listen, I'm telling you. Your first time making it to the finals, the only team I seen that wasn't started was the Toronto Raptors. That first time getting to those NBA finals, it's serious. There's so much extra. Sometimes you get caught up in the moment, but I would not, the way that Anthony Davis and LeBron James are playing right now, I would not bet my money against them in the playoffs. LeBron James is one of the few players, besides Kawhi Leonard, that has a on and off switch from regular season to postseason. And I would not bet my money against them. I love Giannis. I love the Bucks, but I got to roll with Braun and Anthony Davis on this one.
That Clippers switch seemed to be on last night as they took care of the Rockets. Perk, we have run out of time, but that doesn't mean we have lost any love for you. We always appreciate you doing this, and have fun calling Jazz and Celtics tonight.
So let me ask y'all this, though. Are we starting to die Monday?
Sixero?
Never mind. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about it next week, okay?
Let me have a cheat week, and then we'll talk about it Friday.
I think we should just go. I don't think we need to. Just go, Perk. Just go.
Look, no carbs, no sugar.
No.
Let's just go.
What kind of monstrosity is this? No carbs, no sugar?
All right, we'll talk it out.
What is this, 1928?
All right. No, that's how you lose weight easily. You know that?
That's easier. That's a lie on the internet. I don't believe it. All right, Perk, listen, because I love you so much, let me think about it for the week. We'll revisit this Friday. Let me eat nothing but Hostess cupcakes for the week, and then we'll talk about it.
All right, cool. No problem.
Thanks, Perk. There's Kendrick Perkins, the one and only. He's, like Tim said, he's calling the Celtics and the Jazz tonight.
That would be laying a lot on the line.
I know what my wife and I are talking about when I get home tonight. I guarantee.
Does your wife get involved with these conversations?
My wife cooks. She's the only reason I eat healthy in any way, shape, or form. She's in 1,000% in Perk's corner on that.
Right.
And I'm going to get just berated tonight. And I... Let's take a break. I don't like where any of this went. Let's take a break. Best of the week is next. Right. My family might make an appearance. It could be an interesting best of the week.
By the way, best of the week brought to you by Mary Brown's Chicken. That stuff is good.
Oh, yeah. I can't really, die. Really I can't good. Die until we do Mary Brown's. Oh,
Or maybe we get the cheat week.
Spicy Big Mary.
Still to come on this edition of Tim and Sid, our good friend Leon Draisaitl will drop by and we will talk to the Oilers captain. Oilers captain. He just leads them in points.
Still pretty important player.
And Connor McDavid is the captain of the team. I understand that. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. People are going to rip me, and I apologize. Time now for the best of the week, brought to you by Mary Brown's Crave Delicious. Here's how it works. We go and we gather clips. We present them to you. You go to sportsnet.ca/vote, and you name the best of the week.
Tim, I'm not good at Jeopardy. I respect the game. I respect the show. Shout out to Alex Trebek. He gave an update this week. He's fighting hard. An inspiration to so many. But you have slowly kind of gotten me on that Jeopardy train over the years because you're a huge fan of Jeopardy. The one thing that pisses me off is when easy sports questions don't get answered properly. Because this is the only place where I can kind of swing and go for the fences here.
Right.
A Joel Embiid question was shown this week on one of the episodes, and it descended into just chaos.
Joel Embiid in 2019 won the trademark for this nickname of his that also describes the 76ers' strategy of improving the team. Paul.
What is do a 180?
Nope. Margaret or Mike? What is the process?
Do a what? Shut
Paul.
Up.
Do a 180. Joel, do a 180 Embiid.
Joel, get that basket Embiid.
And because Joel Embiid is more worried about Twitter than he is the game of basketball, he changed his Twitter account to do a 180.
It's more effective on social media than the court.
The madness is coming south of the border. But this week, different sort of madness. Jackson State's senior student manager was allowed to not only suit up, but checked into the final 2 minutes of a blowout game. And despite never playing in a college basketball game before, Thomas Lee, better known as Snacks, because he is, well, rather rotund. Like, I mean, he makes Sid, me, and Perk look slim. And our guy, Thomas Snacks Lee, delivered in the blowout win.
Snacks is in this game, man. Thomas Lee in the ball game for Jackson State. Seconds to go.
Jonas James is trying to get it to him. Jonas James gets it to him again.
Here's Snacks with three.
Snacks busted. Snacks. Snacks. Hits the three. Snacks. Snacks. Watch that with three. Oh, my goodness. Snacks.
Your boy Snacks hit a long distance three, and everyone loved it.
He then changed his life afterward. He went completely vegetarian. He's now known as Thomas Kale Lee. He's gone a complete other way.
You might have to go Sydney Kale 6-0.
I'll beat you to that. And you're right. You missed a couple of days this week. Glad to see you back. Alex 6-0 was in your seat.
Are you really? Your brother worked with you.
Yeah, and he's fine. Why do you not think I like when you come back from things? Well, you give me the same look. You tilt your head like a cat that's looking at something interesting.
Because to be honest,
and it's like you don't believe me when I say that. I mean that sincerely.
Because to be honest, I'd rather work with my brother.
Okay, well, keeping it in the family. Yeah, but I'm not even mad at that. So Alex 6-0, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, the fan, was in Tim's seat. And the picture of me in grade 8 has now, they're going to make a Canadian Heritage moment out of it. And the one person we haven't spoken to about it. We heard from Colby Armstrong. We heard from you.
Yeah,
we heard from Mark Spears. Yeah. My mother is the only person we had yet to hear from. She also took no mercy on her own flesh and blood, live on national television and Drive Time Toronto Radio. This is how it sounded and looked.
Drive Time.
Okay. Whatever. So we're going to put up a picture of my grade 8 photo.
Okay.
Do you see it?
I see it. Okay. How can I forget that picture,
sir? I don't know a person on earth who loves pictures like Mrs. 6-0. So, when you saw this picture specifically, what did you think?
But I thought you're my son. You're great at picture, and I loved it, like I do it today.
What did I tell you?
But, Mom, what did you honestly think of the photo? Because there's
this
still...
Well, it's a great picture. Well, what can it is what it is, sir. It's cute. It was a face, and I love this picture. And I can't believe it. It's, you show it over and over on the show. It's cute.
Our mom, quote, "It is what it is," about my grade 8 photo. What an L I took on that.
Ruthless.
Can I ask people what it is?
It is what it is, right, sir?
Or that be
is that
too
the
much?
Poll question? What is it?
Just it a, is what it is, right? Is it, what is it?
We have a new match game.
Remember back just after grade 8 when you were in high school and there was always like the cool teacher or the teacher that tried to be cool. They either listened to cool music or had some cool lingo.
And then you grew up 20 years later and you thought they were a little too close to the students.
Correct.
Yeah.
We think that's what this teacher was attempting to do with his morning greeting, be cool. Or, and I'm going to offer this side of it, he understood the irony of it all. Either way, one of his students, because it's 2020, put his morning greeting together in a montage, posted it on the internet. It went viral because of, well, an old commercial.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
What's up?
What's up? What's up?
What's
up? What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Is that Andy Reid?
What's up? What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
I think it's funny.
It's good. I like it.
If my teacher came in, I don't care how old the reference is. If my teacher did that, I would think he's cool.
But what if he came in and went, boom goes the dynamite?
Same thing. Every day?
Every day.
It would
boom
be
goes
see
the dynamite.
See how he won them over by the end?
Was that winning
in the
over?
Class.
Or did he get destroyed by
I'm
his
gonna
student?
I'm going to start doing that on the show.
I'm not going to fight you.
I'm bringing it back.
Shaquille O'Neal
Me
lost.
Me and Andy Reid are bringing it back.
You're going to bring back what's
up?
You know what? That's what we need in this society right now, Tim.
Wazzah.
We need what's up? Shaquille O'Neal had a weird hairline this week on TNT Tuesday night.
What's up with Shaq?
Lost a bet with Dwayne Wade, and boy, they made a thing out of it.
Let's just get it out of the way, America. I had a bet against one of my good friends, D-Wade, Milwaukee versus the Heat. I said Milwaukee was going to win by 20 and the Heat won. And I said, well, what do you want me to do, pay you? He said, nah, you got to let your hairline grow out. We want to see your hairline looking like Kenny Smith.
Oh, my
God. I just lined it up for y'all so y'all can see where my hairline starts.
Look good. Good.
And I look good. And I'm proud to do it, and I'm keeping it like this all week.
Yo, Trae Young shoots from where your line is started.
Wow.
Line at half court.
It's not real, right?
No, it wasn't real, no. He took, he smudged it and there was a little.
Yeah, like black ice.
Post. Yeah, so it wasn't real.
Like Carlos Boozer back in the day.
It's not going to win.
Never mind. Like five people know that one. That's even more. One. Yeah, Carlos Boozer back in the day.
I wouldn't trust Carlos. I wouldn't buy a used car from Carlos Boozer. I don't think.
Debate this amongst yourselves because we don't have time. Is Tuesday night almost as good as Thursday night on TNT? Mike Ryan brought it up yesterday. The Tuesday night show is really good.
It's okay.
It doesn't have Kenny Smith.
Hold on. It doesn't have Ernie Johnson either.
Right.
Relax with the Tuesday night's better than Thursday night.
Just throwing it out there.
It's a ridiculous
comment. Immediately sending it back.
It's a ridiculous
Former NBA punter turned media star Pat McAfee recently invited to do player introductions at the New Orleans Pelicans game. Because why? Well, because why not? He saved his best work for Zion Williamson. Pat?
This man has been dunking on little white kids on the internet for 10 years. The incomparable, unstoppable, 6 foot, 6 phenom, Zion Williamson.
My favorite part for those listening on radio is McAfee goes back into his the bib on his hoodie to pull out the next guy after introducing Zion Williams.
You got
to
keep your notes in check.
Understand.
Sportsnet.ca/vote. Let your voice be heard. We'll announce the winner in about 35 minutes time here on Tim and Sid.
All right, time for a break. When we come back, he is not only leading the Edmonton Oilers in scoring, he is leading the National Hockey League in scoring by 15 points. The Oilers' Leon Draisaitl will join us next right here on Tim and Sid.
Was that?
See? Told you it was good.
It's back. You did it.
Time for Tim and Sid.
It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdog. Still to come, we'll get a best of the week winner and an important night in the National Hockey League, especially in the Western Conference. We'll break it all down to you and hand you off to Hockey Central as well.
I think most nights going forward in the Western Conference,
that is true.
Depending on the sked,
nope,
are probably super important.
Right.
But I hear what you're saying, Timmy.
Stand corrected.
Leon Draisaitl right now has more points than anyone else in the National Hockey League. The Oilers second in their division. Leon coming off a three-game road trip. He didn't have to. He's kind enough to join us here on Tim and Sid. Leon, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Doing good. How are you guys?
Very good.
Good. I'm good. That was a rather eventful three-game road trip for you guys. Overall, I know last night didn't go the way you wanted, but overall, 4 points out of six and some of the numbers you put up, happy with the trip?
Yeah, I think it could have been a great trip if we, you know, obviously, you know, would have had a better night in Chicago last night. But, you know, obviously three tough teams. So, yeah, I think we're happy with what we got.
I know it was a disappointing night, and I know you said as much after the game. But do you think that might be the biggest difference between this year's team and teams of the past in Edmonton, that there is a better understanding on what it takes to win day in, day out in this league?
Well, yeah, I think that's a little bit of a work in progress and something that we've gotten a lot better at this year. You know, learning, you know, like you guys said, what it takes to win hockey games and, you know, playing meaningful hockey at this time of the year. So I think we've been doing a pretty good job of it the last little while here. So, yeah, hopefully we can keep it up and, you know, grab a playoff spot.
Hopefully those sensors are you just parking and you're all safe and haven't backed into anybody. Let me ask you this. We were just talking about the schedule tonight and how it affects the Western Conference. And as fans, like, we are glued to this stuff. As a player, do you watch the other games when you're not playing?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously pay attention. I mean, I think that you still want to focus on yourself as much as possible. But especially since it's so tight right now in our conference with the wild card spots and all that kind of stuff, you know, there's not really a way around than, you know, taking a peek at the standings and the scores. So, yeah, I think we definitely all do.
So we're all in the same boat.
It's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers, leading scorer in the National Hockey League right now, joining us here on Tim and Sid. Leon, I want to go back to the Nashville game to start the trip this week. You have a four-goal night, 5 points overall. There was that one piece of video, though, of the Oiler fans behind the bench giving you the "we're not worthy," and you kind of turn around. What were you saying to them? What were they saying to you? What was going on there?
You know what? I kind of have to, you know, break the excitement a little bit here. I didn't even look at these guys. I was talking to our assistant coach.
Glenn Gullitson. All right. My bad. That was a Glenn Gullitson conversation. I'm sorry.
I was talking to Gully because we've tried that power play, the last goal. We tried that play so many times, and I could never score on it. And then everyone was laughing because I finally got one in. But I didn't even pay attention to the guys. The first time I saw it was in a video after, actually.
All right, I got to get my angles right.
No, it does look like a great interaction, but now that you pointed out, we can totally see that you're talking to Gullit.
Because it looked like you gave them your undivided attention, and you're just getting coached up, so to speak. So,
sorry about that.
On that.
I know.
No,
every once in a while, it's nice to be honest.
Why we're doing this. Let's get the record straight. Absolutely.
I got to ask you. I know that you're four goals back of Pasternak and Ovi for the goal-scoring lead, and I don't even know if you look at things like that, but did you know that the last player to win the Triple Crown, goals, assists, and points, was Mario Lemieux, and you're pretty damn close to it right now?
I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that, but you know, I think it'll be pretty hard to beat those guys up there. It seems like, you know, they're just scoring at will right now. So obviously, I'm going to try and do my best here the last little while, but you know, I think it'll be a tough one.
Are you used to people mentioning you in the Hart Trophy conversation yet?
You know, again, I think I try to block that out as much as I can. You know, I think for us, especially here in Edmonton, we're all kind of sick of losing, and you know, the main reason we're all playing right now is to make the playoffs and make a push. So obviously, whatever I can do to help the team win hockey games, that's all that matters right now to all of us. So you know, try to kind of block that out a little bit.
Leon Draisaitl of the Edmonton Oilers here on Tim and Sid. Okay, let's talk the team in relation to you. And Leon, full disclosure, as my co-host here knows, we've been talking about you for a couple of years now. And I have sat on this desk numerous times, and I basically said, look, the numbers Leon's putting up are nice. If he can't drive his own line, the Oilers are not going to go where they need to go.
Right.
And you've shut a lot of people up, including me this year. What is the chemistry like with Kyler and Nuge and yourself? And when you look at the numbers and the chemistry you guys have developed, is it the sky's the limit type feeling because you know 97 is on another line doing his thing as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes our team just a lot more dangerous, a lot more, you know, harder to defend, because a lot of times, you know, when Connor and I, when we play together, we didn't have a good night, then, you know, you shut both of us down at the same time, kind of. Now it's a different look with our group, I think. And obviously those two guys I've had on my wings, you know, they've played amazing hockey lately, and it's been a lot of fun playing with them, and we've built a great, great chemistry. So, yeah, we're just looking to keep that going.
I mean, the entire line's doing damage. We kind of knew that Nugent Hopkins had it in him, but what have you seen different from Kyler Yamamoto since his return to the lineup?
I think just his confidence. He's like, I always saw that he was a good player, but it just seems like this year he came in and he just kind of had that mentality that I'm not leaving. I don't care what I have to do. I'm not leaving this place. So he's so much fun to play with. It's really a lot of fun. And yeah, like I said, we've built a lot of chemistry over the little bit, and you know, he's obviously a huge part of that.
Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers here on Tim and Sid. Leon, you put numbers up last year, and obviously it was a year of transition, especially behind the bench. And I don't want to disrespect anyone who's already coached you in that market, but Dave Tippett, what has he done for your game this year?
As a team?
For you individually. Well, you go both. I'll take as a team you individually.
As a team, I think he's just so good at, you know, getting the most out of players. You've heard that, like, from reading interviews, all that kind of stuff. When we hired him, that people were saying that that's his best asset. He's so good at getting the most out of every guy, and you know, that's really something that we've been missing a little bit the last couple of years. You know, our third and fourth line, those kind of guys, and you know, they play huge roles in us winning games and being in the spot that we're in right now. Like Archie and Shea, for example, they kill, like, they're so good at killing penalties. So, you know, we've won a lot of games that way. So he's just very good at giving players roles, and they just kind of thrive in it, yeah.
You mentioned Archie. I got to ask you, is it nice to see him get a deal?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think we're all very excited. He's been a great teammate, great player for us. You know, really gives us a lot of depth, and he can really play up and down the lineup. So I think we're all very excited about that.
All right, last one from me. Did you see Mika Zibanejad's 5-goal game last night? One, does it piss you off that it came so close to your 4-goal game?
Oh,
or do
yeah.
you have a better appreciation?
Yeah. I'm so pissed off.
Yeah, yeah. Or do you have the better appreciation because you just had the 4-game?
No, he deserves it. That's very, very hard to do. And, you know, very impressive. Yeah, that's the...
Well, unlike you, he didn't have an assist, eh, Leon? You know, a little bit of a hog last night. He had five and zero.
Yeah, he's not a. He can't pass very well.
Are you? How much are you thinking playoffs, Leon? I know it's tight. I know there's a lot of hockey left, but the market's getting excited here. How much are you thinking playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're in a position where we can start thinking about it, of course, but you don't want to think too far ahead. You want to take it game by game. Obviously, still need to bank in points here as much as we can. And, obviously, I think I'd be lying if we weren't all thinking about it. But, like I said, can't think too far ahead and just got to go out and then, play our game, try and bank in points.
Leon, if the postseason started today, I love this game. My co-host hates it. If the postseason started today, it's Oilers-Flames round one. You want that, don't you? Come on, Leon. How much you want the Flames? How much you want the Flames in round one? Let's go.
Well, I think the whole hockey world, or especially Alberta, would want that really badly. So it would be a lot of fun for sure, no question. We'll see what happens at the end.
Handled like a seasoned veteran, Leon. Handled like a seasoned veteran. Hey, thanks a lot for doing this. We know it's a busy time. You guys have six games, 10 nights. Really appreciate it, and good luck against Columbus.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime, Leon. There is Leon Draisaitl, who is the leading scorer in the National Hockey League by 50. I can't believe it's 15 points. Like, I know there's been injuries to other guys. There have been, mitigating circumstances to the 15, but it's still 15. Like, in this day and age.
In a league where guys are getting 5 goals and you're like, oh, that happened again. Like, points are happening in this league consistently, and for him to have that kind of a cushion, you're right, is kind of crazy.
Well, I think it was going the other way with it, but I get what you're saying.
Oh, sorry, I went the whole other way with it.
What's that? Nick wrote in and said, I can't believe I didn't do this earlier, but Nick writes in and goes, get Leon to give us a what's up. I should have just got a what's up, Leon.
No, yeah. We had to make it about the Oilers and Leon and Kings of Leon. We did the right thing.
Listen, John is a longtime Timmins citizen. I think he swung and missed on this. I have no doubt that Leon will be as charismatic as a slug. I think Leon was pretty damn good.
Yeah. It's a bad tweet. I love you, John.
I kind of held on to it.
It's a bad tweet. Leon was fantastic.
No, but like, I think he's opened up a lot over the last little while.
Significantly.
Leon. And that was a really good interview.
We spoke to him, forgive me, I don't know if it was 2016 or 2015, but when he signed the deal with the Oilers at $8.5 million per year, we did have him on that day.
Right.
I don't remember him being as comfortable then as he was now with us. Like, he's
sometimes guys get more comfortable with age. Like, that happens.
No, maturity is a myth. Maturity is a myth, McAuliffe.
And finally, Cham wrote in, and maybe we need to do something for these guys, but he just said at Timmins City, wasn't even looking at them, LOL. We still aren't worthy. And had the tweet of what looked like Leon Draisaitl looking up at the "We're Not Worthy" guys in Nashville, and it was it felt like an iconic moment in Edmonton sports history. Maybe we need to do something for the "We're Not Worthy" guys, because it's still, don't let this take away from what transpired. It was still seen everywhere, and it was still very fitting.
And again, Tim, I agree with you. Like, I can't believe that's how the story went. I feel dumb not realizing he was talking to Glenn Gullitson. But you're right. We need to do something for those Edmonton Oilers fans behind the bench, because it was that's one of those shots where you end the highlight pack on it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like, great closer.
That's a classic closer there. And they were making such great noise. But I do enjoy talking to a guy one-on-one like that, because sometimes you can find stuff like that out.
Right.
Because when I asked him that, he hesitated because he didn't really want to tell us the truth,
but
because he knew the other story was so magical with Oilers Nation right behind him at Bridgestone. Anyway, it was I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation, and that's a playoff-bound team, and it's going to be an interesting postseason. Dare I say it? I think that's a playoff-bound team.
I hope the Sixero mush doesn't come out, because Edmonton Oilers fans.
Sorry, Edmonton.
They are. If anything, they do not give passes to many.
Or should
people.
They? City of Champions, man.
I also enjoyed that he said he'd be watching the 6 games in the NHL tonight the way we would be, or more specifically, probably the 3. Golden Knights at Jets, Coyotes at Flames, Avalanche at Canucks. Now, the Leafs are also playing against the Ducks, but in the West, those 3 games specifically have a lot of attention on them.
And normally the Friday sked is kind of, how do you say, Not very good in the National Hockey League?
I think you just said it.
Right?
Yep.
Like, we got NBA. What do we got? We got Celtics, Jazz. We got Lakers, Bucks.
Yeah, ESPN
like
all, has kind of turned it into
a whole different
night.
Thing. But this is a good hockey sked tonight. If you're, I mean, never mind if you're a fan of one of these Canadian teams here. If you're into these playoff races in any way, shape, or form, this is pretty good tonight. And Calgary at home against Arizona, that piques my curiosity. That was a hell of a comeback the other night. They haven't played well at home all year, Calgary, yeah. Despite being in the spot they're in. Can they keep it going against Darcy Kemper in Arizona? I'm really interested in that result.
Yeah, Darcy Kemper goes back-to-back. He has been really good this year. If he finds it, look out. And is it just me, or do Vancouver and Winnipeg fans kind of turn into Flames fans tonight?
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of like cheering it for the Flames, like, because it. You're looking at wild cards, or if you're the Canucks, bleep the wild card. I don't know how, if you're a Canucks fan, you say bleep the wild card, given that Markstrom is out. And I don't know if you've looked at their schedule over the next little while, but it's the Avalanche, who have played really well of late. Tonight, they get Colorado twice in the week. They have 5 games between now and next Friday. 6 between now and Sunday. 5 games, 2 of them against Colorado between now and next Friday. Like, it is, and they get Arizona within those games as well. It is going to be a tough stretch for the Vancouver Canucks, but that doesn't mean that Travis Green doesn't have confidence, or doesn't in English, have confidence in his boys. In fact, earlier today, I believe he tried to give the boys a vote of confidence. Here's Travis Green.
So I'm confident in this group. They're going to play their asses off for the rest of the year, and I'm confident they're going to put themselves in the playoffs.
That is making a statement, man. That is
it?
That is your head. Listen, you hear everything that's going on in that market, right? You hear everything.
That was like a 4-second clip.
Sometimes
I didn't want to nitpick, but I wanted to make sure that you felt the same way.
Hey, sometimes good things, as I know, come in small packages. And Travis Green went out there today. What?
Nothing.
Travis Green.
What's up?
Travis Green went out there today.
Yeah.
And he hears what's going on. Everyone knows what's going on here. They've lost 10 of 14. And they're doing it the wrong time of year, and you can pull at some reasons for it, and they're all legitimate.
Right.
That guy went out, Travis Green, who I'm a huge fan of, went out there today and tried to center his group. This is going to be a difficult one tonight, but try to center his group. Hopefully they can hear it and come out, because there is the, you know, to go with the Ian McIntyre thing you brought up already yesterday,
yeah.
There are Canuck-ish things happening here, and it's a skittish fan base, and I understand that. I'm rooting for this group. I'm a big fan of Travis Green. I'm a big fan of a lot of guys on this roster. I hope they pull it out, and I will be in the Canucks corner this evening. It's an Avs team who are damn difficult to deal with at times.
Thatcher Demko starts tonight. Tyler Myers is back, and we're still waiting on word from Colorado, but they've, despite being absolutely ravaged by injuries, 15-3-2 in their last 20 games. Kadri out, wow. Rantanen out, Calvert out, Burakovsky out, Kale McCarr out. Would have been nice to see Hughes and McCarr go toe-to-toe. Mm-hmm. Don't think we're going to see that tonight.
No. All right, we're going to take a break here. Coming up, best of the week winner. We have some news from baseball. We have some NBA stuff coming up. We have what we missed.
It's a busy show.
On the radio side, right. I still got to get my schedules correct, Tim.
What's that?
Time now to reveal the best of the week winner, brought to you by Mary Brown's Crave Delicious. The votes are in. Mrs. Sixera will not be happy with this turn of events. Finishing 3rd, if my math is correct, and it rarely is. The winner, a guy named Snacks Playing Basketball, a.k.a. my hero.
Snacks is in this game, man. With 2:05 to go, Thomas Lee in the ball game for Jackson State. Seconds to go.
Jonas James is trying to get it to him. Jonas James gets it to him again.
Here's Snacks with 3. Snacks busted. Snacks. Snacks. Hits the 3. Snacks. Snacks. Watch out with 3.
It's your boy Snacks. He's rather rotund, and he just hit a 3. He also
is our Best of the Week winner. Listen, as we lead up to International Women's Day on Sunday, we continue to shine a spotlight on inspirational women in sports. Today, Carolyn Cameron sits down with trailblazing tennis executive Stacey Allister after a historic year for the sport in this country.
So are you a reflective person? Do you ever come out here and look around and just take it in?
I do. I never take for granted when I see the building and when I walk into the building. You know, this is the home of Billie Jean King and so many great champions. You know, at heart, I'm a tennis fan, you know. So it, I always pinch myself and walking on to Ash, even walking here to meet you, walking in the hallway, I'm reflective. Seeing the athletes come out of that locker room and walk to be on this magical stage.
Were you a dreamer as a kid when you were 12 years old, first job, sweeping the clay courts in Welland, Ontario? Was there a moment when you thought you could maybe make a career out of it?
In tennis, like as in the court? Never.
No, but even at the boardroom level.
I definitely was very goal-driven. And as soon as I achieved something, I was right on to, well, what's the next? The next goal, I was thinking, I want to get to Tennis Canada. And Tennis Canada turned me down 3 times. I often was quite motivated by people telling me I couldn't do something. And so I finally got that opportunity. And then I stayed with Tennis Canada for 15 years.
So what was your main goal when you came into the WTA?
Our main goal was to transform the circuit. We had too many events. We weren't delivering top players on a consistent basis to our fans. It was really ruining the credibility of the WTA. So it was reforming the circuit, and also alongside of that was increasing compensation for the athletes. And we knew that if we increased inside the WTA, we would also then have a platform to get Wimbledon and Roland Garros to get to equal prize money.
And that's where we see other women's sports and other different women's sports bodies trying to get to the level of men's professional sports. Why do you think it hasn't gotten there yet?
I think, number one, it starts with athletes. So we were blessed with Billie Jean King, the original nine, Chrissy, Martina. They were the pioneers and those that were brave to stand up to the establishment and say, it's not right that the guys were making 12,000 and we're making 2,000. So those are poignant moments that it was athlete driven. But if we look at what's happening in women's soccer, women's hockey, the catalyst are the athletes. It takes the courage of the athletes to stand up to the federations like Billy did, like the original nines, we're not playing. And then you need sponsors. Because when 1973, the US Open went to equal, it was a sponsor that stepped up and said, we'll pay the difference. But it's 2020 and we're made a lot of advancements, but we're nowhere near where we should be.
What was it like for you in September when you're reflective and think back to your roots in Welland and with the OTA and Tennis Canada to see at the US Open on this stage, in this house, a Canadian tour?
It was incredible.
Yeah.
What an emotional day for so many reasons.
Championship point, Bianca Andreescu, Canada's first Grand Slam champion.
This building was insane. It was so loud, you know. Serena said she'd never heard it this loud. Many of us have never heard it that loud. And Bianca just stayed in her zone, stayed in the moment, and she became the 2019 US Open champion. It was unbelievable. You know, I've got to be neutral
here. Yeah, you can't wave the flag.
No, I don't wave the flag, but you know, they can see by the smile.
It's one thing to say that you yourself are a leader. Do you view yourself as a trailblazer, or is that a harder title to get used to?
It's a harder title to get used to. I've heard it often. I'm proud of it. Only woman in the world running a professional sport. I needed to be successful because that was going to pave the way for the next generation of female leaders. I just wanted to have that opportunity for another Stacey Allister and another Caroline Cameron to live their dreams.
Yeah. In a tennis center named after Billie Jean King and a stadium named after Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, doesn't get any better.
No. Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah.
it's an interesting reflection, if you'll look at it, that the athletes have to be the trailblazers. All the things that we've seen in the last 5, 10, 15 years, the athletes are the one that spur on the change. If you project that out, there's a lot of things that you can see.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, time to say goodbye to those watching on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360. Up next on Sportsnet, it is Hockey Central ahead of a busy night in the National Hockey League, including 3 games in the Sportsnet family of channels. And we've got an NBA doubleheader, including the Bucks and the Lakers. Battle for MVP? It's on Sportsnet 1. Meanwhile, Tim and Sid continues on Sportsnet 5, Night of the Fan. Radio only. 60 seconds. Right back at you.
Getting that Friday feeling.
TV's gone, 6-0. Stretch the legs out. This is radio only, except there's a bunch of cameras in the studio still.
No, I hear you, but let me take off my pants. Let me get comfortable. What's up?
Please do not. I can only imagine the smell.
It's better than you think.
This is 2020 encapsulated in 2 tweets. Are you ready for me to encapsulate the age we live in 2 tweets?
You need, and I know we're just on radio right now, and I didn't mean that as a rip. We're on radio right now. On the TV side, that almost needs its own graphic. 2020 in 2 tweets, and just update it by the year as you go. That should be a thing, because I find that's a common thread at times with this show.
Are you ready for Tim McAuliffe's statement on society in this 2020, encapsulated by 2 tweets sent into our show?
Yes, I am.
William writes in case you dolts haven't heard, some guy named Henri Richard, who has more Stanley Cup rings than most NHL teams and only one less than the Leafs, has passed away, and the best you can do today is some childish crap about Bundy 5. Get off my TV. Hashtag disrespect. Tweet number 2 from Dave Terry. Nice words about the pocket rocket. It made me a little misty. I remember game 7 against Chicago in 71. What a performer.
So you're saying one guy watched the show and saw us talk about Henri Richard in the first segment, and the other guy didn't and just called this out with zero information, is basically what you're saying.
One guy got a little misty about our words, yeah, about Henri Richard. The other guy yelled and screamed at us, mm-hmm, for not doing anything on Henri Richard.
Yeah. Well, we did it. So thanks for being a part of the show. We appreciate it. Sometimes being on for 2 hours is a blessing and a curse. Like, sometimes we do things and then this whole
make
different
it three
group of
tweets.
Audience. There's a third tweet?
Glenn, yeah, gentlemen, thank you for commemorating the late Henri Richard.
Oh, no problem. That's 11 Stanley Cups, one of the greatest of all time. Like, it wasn't hard.
No.
By the way, on the Henri Richard thing, the one argument you hear about the 11 Cups that he won, you don't hear many because it's 11 Cups.
Right.
But the one thing you hear was, well, 7 of those Cups were during the original 6 era. Had to beat 5 other teams.
Mm-hmm.
The context, though, of that era, those were the most competitive 6-team tournaments, right?
Yeah.
In your life in the world of hockey,
right,
you're never going to see 6 teams with a minimum of 7 Hall of Famers on each team,
right,
fighting tooth and nail to win Stanley Cups. Just the one part of that stat that always bothered me that people would point at. Well, it's ridiculous to point at.
The other thing was, there were other guys on those 6 teams, and how many of them have 11 Cups?
Correct. There's one guy.
None of them.
His name was Henri Richard. What a career. What a career, man.
Is it time? By the way, can I just say this, too, while we're talking about Henri Richard?
It's your show. You can say
people thought when they brought him in that he was just Maurice's brother. Like, this was a favor to Maurice Richard.
A symbolic
gesture. Here's your little brother. And little he was. Like, at the time when the game was pretty damn rough, when there were riots because it was pretty damn rough, this guy was a little guy, and they just brought him into play. And then he ended up being one of the best players on one of the best teams for a long time.
Like Bill Russell, 11 NBA titles.
Right.
Yogi Berra won 17 World Series championships. Am I overshooting it on Yogi? Please correct me, Tim.
I think so.
I thought I saw some, it can't be 17. I saw that incorrectly. That's a ridiculous statistic that I would throw out there in a rather reckless way. How dare I throw 17 worlds? Did he play 17 seasons?
Yeah, like, he played that many.
He played that many.
Yeah, I'm getting teams right now. He won 10.
10.
Yeah, I think 11 is the most in the Big Four.
10 World Series titles for Yogi Berra.
And it's Bill Russell and Henri Richard.
But those pictures of Bill Russell where it's just his hands and rings, like just the coolest shots in sports history around guys who have won that many times. And Henri Richard is one of those guys. By the way, and I credit Jeff Merritt for bringing this point up earlier today on Hockey Central at noon. Habs on the road in Florida tomorrow night. Habs are not home until Tuesday against Nashville.
Wow, that'll be a show to watch.
Yeah. And I don't know what I'm pretty sure it's a three-letter game. It's not a national game for us. Hopefully they can make that ceremony available in some way to a national audience. Easy for me to say. I'm not running a station, but does anyone do it better than the Montreal Canadiens?
Nope.
And for anything.
We've done it before here, so I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do that. Where you can make it national, the ceremony, yeah. You can't make the game national.
Because it's technically not the game, so they can do that. So again, the Habs' first home game after the passing of Henri Richard earlier this morning will be Tuesday night against Nashville. Keep it in mind.
Time now for a little What We Missed, Sid 6-0.
What We Missed!
But it is a Friday edition of What We Missed.
It's Friday?
And then it's...
It's Friday, then
it's Saturday, Sunday.
It's Saturday, Sunday, what?
It's Friday.
It's Friday, then
it's Saturday, Sunday. Then it's Saturday, Sunday.
Did I start this early? And we're going to have 17 and a half minutes?
We could take a break. Hold on. We could take a break. Because we did this a couple of Fridays ago. I saw my brother upstairs.
Yep.
And I walk in the room, in the change room, and all I hear is... It was burrowed in Alex's head for like the next 3 hours.
It is an earworm.
It's a good one though.
And it gets you, like, you can't hear this song and not smile.
Or move. How are you not moving? What happened to you? You used to be a club rat. What happened to Tim McAuliffe? You used to be a club rat.
Yeah, I did grow up a little bit.
Was this your jam back in the day? Did you like this track like that?
Oh, this is right in my wheelhouse.
This was it?
Oh, yeah. There are a couple different places you could get this. Government, back in the day.
A lot of places you could get this. Yeah.
I even remember when they went back to this stuff. Go to Roxy Blue every once in a while.
I never went to Roxy Blue.
And then they would play, kind of do the old school. And they would play stuff like this. And I don't know if you remember Fluid back in the day.
It was a Fluid situation.
But a Tim McAuliffe with a little hair did some damage back in the day.
Let me pitch this to you right here. I'm going to do a little.
Didn't you go out with Gloxy and I to Fluid one time? Didn't we take you out to?
Yeah,
Fluid? I feel like
we ran into Nichols, who's running BioSteel right now, right? Or part of BioSteel. We ran into, was it Matt Nichols?
Matt Nichol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nichol. Not
Nichols.
Not plural. Matt Nichol. We ran. No. Yeah. That was a good night.
I think he's made a few Nichols.
Yes, he has. Shout out BioSteel.
I don't know if that was that night. I don't remember meeting. Night. I don't think I've ever met Matt Nichol.
No, and then I met Gloxy first time. Meep. I met him for the first time.
Right.
Let me pitch this to you. We have a little time here. Let me drag into this segment and pitch the following. Any investors listening, hell, Brad Treliving's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Someone shout out Brad because he's got the juice. Yeah. Sorry, Jim. Sorry, it's Jim Treliving.
That's the GM of his son.
Brad's going to play with the Flames.
Yeah.
Brad's got some coin too. Jim also. You know what? Any Treliving that's listening to this right now.
Okay.
Any Treliving.
Where are you going with this?
Tim and Sid Nightclub. Downtown Toronto.
Why would anyone go to a Tim and Sid Nightclub?
It's called, wait for it, the name of the club is called How You Doing? Or Tim and Sid. We could talk about it. It doesn't matter.
I thought you were going to go What's Up, but...
I should have gone What's Up. Tim and Sid Nightclub. Buffet on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Bowling on the second.
Can we get into just... Why don't we just buy into Frank D'Angelo Supper Club?
Okay, let's focus on my idea.
Right, fine.
We can make it like... Remember Joker back in the day that had three floors?
Do I remember
music?
Joker? What are you
remember
talking
Joker?
About?
Joker had...
My brother was the DJ.
Dance
at Joker.
Dance alt.
Don't play around with me.
What was the other floor music at Joker? It was dance.
Changed by the day.
What are you talking about here?
I'm saying let's make a Timmons shit.
Did you ever go to any club?
I did. Believe me. Nightclub.
With your mullet?
Buffet? No. Didn't help when I cut it off either. Buffet on the first floor, bowling on the second.
Oh, nice.
Grunge on the third. Old school this on the fourth. Right. Patio up top.
Right.
Where it's just cornhole going up.
Do it.
What? The game. What are you talking about?
By the way, I like the old school Devil's Martini idea with the sandwiches in the basement. There are people out there right now that know what I'm talking about in the day. Didn't Easy on the Fifth also do sandwiches?
I think so.
But I always
went right to the street meat. I got to be honest. I went right there every time.
Yeah, no one didn't think that you went straight to the street meat.
They didn't. Hey, you know what, Sid? You look like a sushi guy at 3 a.m. No one says that to me.
No.
Shut up, Dagan.
No.
Dagan's laughing hard. Whatever. You're kind of, for a short guy, you're pretty fat, too.
Either that or cold tea. All right. Let's begin what we missed with the U Sports Men's Basketball Final Eight.
Where are we at today with that?
That is men's quarterfinals today. We've had two games played. Western Mustangs making their return to the tournament. Mm-hmm. They are through to the semifinals after beating the Alberta Golden Bears. Carleton beats Calgary. Carleton ranked number one again. One, do you like the idea of holding the men's and women's tournaments together? And two, are you surprised that Carleton is through to the semifinals? I know the answer to two is no.
Yeah, no. I know the history of that program is rather egotistical, so success follows them around. Did someone hit a big shot for Western today, Tim? Were you telling me that earlier today, or should we pass on this completely? Because we're going down a road maybe.
It wasn't one big shot, but Omar Shitto hit a couple of big shots.
Wow.
For the Western Mustangs. So, he can shoot it.
So they didn't crap the bed today.
I knew it.
Nope.
I knew it.
And I do love having the women's and the men's tournaments concurrently. Makes a lot of sense.
You got to be very careful when Shido's raining threes.
I know. It's tough, but eventually the real Shido comes out and has a big finish for it.
UBC also leading Bishops, the alma mater of many in this city, including Arash Madani. UBC always having trouble getting out of the first round. If they get past this, watch out. Third-ranked team in the nation, or at least third-seeded team in the nation going into this tournament. Blue Jays played some spring training action today. Don't know if you heard the score. 19-13 final against the Pirates in Grapefruit League action.
That is so spring training.
Chase Anderson got the start, and he was chased after three innings, giving up six earned runs on seven hits. Lourdes Gurriel went 3-for-3 at the plate. Well, the Yankees got some tough news again. Aaron Judge, out indefinitely, broken rib, may require surgery. We've also heard Giancarlo Stanton, hurt, will miss opening day. Gerrit Cole, not looking great, at least in spring training. Injuries to the Boston Red Sox. Chris Sale, out. Elbow strain. Should Jays fans start to get a little more enthusiastic of the upcoming season, given what you're hearing in the rest of the American League East?
Okay, let's start with the Red Sox. They're going to lose 15 more games than they lost a year ago. Let's lay it on the table here.
David Price gone, Chris Sale hurt, Mookie Betts gone.
Like they're going to lose 15 more games. Ron Renicki's just taken over a team. He was announced less than a month ago. They are not going to be any better than they were last year. In fact, they'll be worse.
Some people think they've already waved a white flag by trading those guys.
Of course. So let's put the Red Sox over there.
Okay.
Tampa Bay, I still say, are good because they're sneaky like that, and they have one of the best managers in Major League Baseball in Kevin Cash. I have no idea what they're about. I have no idea why they get the success they do, but they still scare me. So I'm going to keep them in the I respect them pile.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees can't stay healthy. They cannot stay healthy. They are not winning this division this year. I put them with the Red Sox. The Baltimore Orioles are ass. They go right there with the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Hold on. The Yankees go with the Red Sox?
Yes. The injuries are too much. They don't have any pitching there.
You've left out Tampa Bay.
Like I said, Tampa Bay, I respect. Tampa Bay can still win that division.
All right.
Tampa Bay won over 90 games a year. I say the Blue Jays, if they're second in that AL East, will be in the wild card hunt.
I wonder what kind of odds. Oh.
Wild card hunt.
I was thinking about the odds on Tampa to win the division.
Look that up.
Yeah, we'll put a little scratch down on that, Sixero.
Odds to win the American League East 2020. Give me a second here, McAuliffe. We got...
Do you actually know how to get that, or should I just continue on?
No one knows how to use the internet but Tim. Unbelievable. Tim, bring it up. I can't get it.
No,
what?
Get it.
Okay, I'll get it. Yankees. Oh, here we go. I got him.
I got him. That pause was awesome.
MLB odds to win AL East.
Shut up, McAuliffe.
Shut up. I got him right here. Yankees minus 370. So maybe not taking into account some of what we heard here.
Yeah.
Tampa
Still
Bay.
Heavy favorites.
Tampa Bay plus 400.
I'll take that.
Boston plus 800. Blue Jays plus 2,400. And the Orioles, they just stopped computing a long time ago.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. But listen, we had this conversation earlier today. Why not put down on the Jays to win the AL East? It's not the worst bet I've ever heard.
You'd need a lot of things to go your way. However, we're seeing a lot of things already go their way.
It's baseball. Things sometimes go different ways.
Oh, my God, yeah. Baseball has the biggest opportunity for that. Or at least it did before people started tanking. And the Jays aren't tanking this year.
They're not.
Former Houston pitcher Colin McHugh weighed in on the Astros sign-stealing scandal. He's a member of the 2017 team, you might remember, but is now with the Red Sox. Here is McHugh explaining why he didn't agree with what was happening, and he kind of empathizes with pitchers who face the Astros hitters.
To put myself in the shoes of the guys who pitched against us in 2017 and to know that our hitters made that job that much harder that year, it's hard to swallow. And I feel for them, and I understand the anger. I understand when people are mad and pissed off, and I get it. I've been there. I know what it feels like to be out there and feel like a team has your signs, and it's a lonely place. So I think from that perspective, knowing that that happened to some of my fellow pitchers that year, I understand, and I empathize with them and with the fans in order to be a good baseball player. And I don't mean a talented baseball player, because there's a lot of talented baseball players, but a good baseball player and somebody that I would want to look up to as a kid. Or to be a good husband or a good father or just a good adult in this world, you've got to be brave. And you've got to be willing to stick up for what you believe in and what you believe is right and what you believe is wrong. And I think a lot of the guys on that team, are, including myself, are looking back now and wishing we had been as brave in the moment as we thought we were beforehand.
Can somebody come in with a shovel to clear that load of BS that I just heard from Colin McHugh?
Yeah.
What the hell was that? You benefited from all that. Justin Verlander, one of the phoniest guys in baseball, benefited from all. Mike Fiers is the only guy who's a hero in this to every other pitcher in baseball. Mike Fiers was the only guy with the balls to put his name on the line in a report and blow the roof off this entire thing while all these pitchers getting 3-4-5-run leads in the first two or three innings were just throwing fastballs and getting out of innings quick and padding their stats. What a load of garbage that was. That was ridiculous what I just heard. Anyone involved with the Houston Astros who plays the, no, I know what we doing was wrong. I know. A.J. Hinch, all of them. Full of it.
You know what's funny is you're right, but McHugh's getting caught up in the fact that the Astros didn't apologize properly to start. Because you wouldn't think that that was horse bleep if you hadn't heard a lack of remorse from the actual Astros, right?
Yeah, maybe they set the tone.
Yeah, no, they did set the tone.
But still, there is an element of BS to what I'm hearing from other aspects like Colin McHugh, and like I heard from Justin Verlander, to be honest about it, that makes me just as nauseated as listening to guys not apologize. Just ridiculous. They all benefited. Don't play that, you know what, it was really hard and I feel for my, you know, you didn't feel anything. The only guy who felt something was Mike Fiers. No one else felt anything. It's a joke.
TB, or the Blakenator, wrote in and just said, Tim said, man, can we have a second drop of It's Friday? You guys can do better than that. Is he saying he needs another track, or that we didn't hit the original track at the right time?
I think he's saying we didn't hit the original one the way we normally would hit. I thought it was fine. But if you want to try it again...
Was it rolled a little early?
I don't know what his specific complaint
was.
We'll
ask him.
Yeah,
like, you tweet us back.
We'll give you a second go at it.
And you let us know what you're talking about here, because we don't want to let you down in any way, shape, or form. That's the show we do here.
But did you not like how we did it? Because I didn't think it was terrible. Did you feel in the moment it was a little lax?
I didn't think we hit the post. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right.
I think TB might be right here.
Thank you, Twitter, for setting us straight, I guess. We'll try it again.
We got a lot of stories left. What do you want to talk? Aaron Rodgers, CBA, Austin Eckler extension. Is Tiger Woods back?
Shut up, man.
Tiger Woods will skip next week's Players' Championship because of his ongoing back problems.
Is Tiger Woods back?
Yeah, and by back, I mean, is he done again?
Well, if he starts missing majors, I'll think it's a problem. Players' Championship's big. We all know that.
Something tells me he sold out to win that major, and it might be done.
Like, he wasn't walking around with a broken leg at Pebble Beach, but it was something along the lines of that?
Yeah. Yeah, like, he put everything he had into trying to get back and may have long-term hurt his overall health.
It's an interesting take. I believe it. You know, he's not getting any younger. Age is undefeated, as you and I know, Tim.
Do you want to make another bet that he won't win another?
No, I'm walking away from this. Get out of here.
6-0.
You know what? How about this? I hope Tiger Woods wins three majors this year.
Three more majors?
I hope he wins so much he gets tired of winning.
Joe Kim Noah signed with the Clippers.
Why?
10-day contract.
Why?
Played 42 games with the Grizzlies last season, averaged just over 7 points and 5 rebounds.
The Raptors at one point had Serge and Gasol out, and they didn't pick this guy up. What does he have left?
Is there something to, and I think this might be the case with a lot of teams now, is there something to the contender picking up someone who they know won't be rattled by the moments? Like, if you're going to have a 12th guy on the bench and you want to make a long run, why not have a guy who can either help in the room or not be rattled if you have to use him?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, it's a good point. It's a good point.
Like, I don't think you can put a kid out there and expect him to be able to handle the moment like you could maybe Joakim. Now, I'm just trying to make sense of signing Joakim Noah.
Especially when you consider, like, there's no games you can just kind of throw away considering the seeding situation in that Western Conference.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they're thinking as well. But it's not a note I thought I would see across our desk today, I'll tell you that.
If you're tuning in and wondering what the bleep's going on, we usually close out our week with what we missed, just to kind of have some fun and have some discussions over things that we don't get into the first 2 hours of the show. Draymond Green has been taking a beating from the inside the NBA crew, and maybe more specifically, Charles Barkley. Chuck roasted Draymond for getting ejected from a game last week, saying Draymond had his normal triple single. Well, Draymond got a hold of it and responded. Here's what he had to say.
Barkley should stop before I go take his job, though. So I can do that well, too. He already didn't make enough money playing, so he need that job. He should stop talking to me. I like to, you know, tendency to end people. So he should stop before I take his job. If he keep talking, you know, I'll take it soon. Sooner than he thinks. So, yeah, he probably should be quiet. He also can't talk basketball with me either. Not smart enough, not qualified. No rings, can't sit at this table.
Hold on here.
No rings at the end. I was almost thinking that's not enough. Like, if you're gonna fire at Charles Barkley, you gotta come strong, and then he does the no rings at the end.
Couple things. We've all seen Charles Barkley enough. You gotta really come at him to embarrass him, period.
In any way, shape, or form.
That man does not take himself seriously.
No.
In a fantastic way.
No.
Second, maybe no rings. There is an MVP in his closet, is there not? Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
That MVP award isn't easy to win in that league, last time I checked. So, I mean, it's in a way, it's a compliment to the platform and megaphone those guys have on that show inside the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, Draymond, of all the years you're going to go after dudes, I don't know if it's this year, man. It's just it's your victim of circumstance in a way. I get it. But just kind of take your licks, get healthy with your guys, come back next year and shut everyone down.
I think that's the point, is that he can't take his licks right now.
He does not want to take his licks. He never seemed like a guy who could, but maybe you got to sit this one out.
Kendrick's been saying the same thing, right? Like, that guy is talking, keep that same energy up. So maybe he was just keeping that same energy up.
Potentially.
We don't have to keep our energy up. We are done for the week. We do appreciate you listening and watching whenever you can, and hope that you'll join us again on Monday.
See ya.
Friday then. It's Saturday, Sunday, burn.